IVM.
Hi, I'm Utsav, a behavior researcher by training and a slow traveler by passion. Postcards from Nowhere is a travel podcast where I condense a decade of travel experiences and explore not just the where, but also the why and how to travel. My stories emerge from slow traveling the less explored parts of the world: Bosnia and Herzegovina, Armenia, Uzbekistan, and even China. At the end of each story, I give practical tips and new ideas about how to travel better. This week, in a two-part series, we chase the contradicting origin stories of the Japanese national dish ramen and uncover why the destinies of ramen and Japan are intertwined. If you meet Osaki Hoshiri, you would think of him as just another aging Japanese man, wearing spectacles for his nearsightedness. He is balding, with his hair disappearing from his head, in the typical way men lose their hair, balding rapidly in the middle, but maintaining a healthy growth on the sides. But what sets this 54-year-old apart is that he eats approximately 800 bowls of ramen per year and writes about ramen for a living. In his book, The Secret History of Ramen in Japan, he claims to have ingested more than 20,000 bowls over his lifetime at 9,500 shops spread across the archipelago of Japan. He's also the founder of the Ramen Bank, a website offering information on 35,330 ramen shops. He comes from a heritage of ramen devotees who have worked to elevate the food from one associated with manual labor and night entertainment to an iconic component of Japanese national food culture. Osaki and others have transformed ramen in Japan into much more than simply a food. It has become an important source of tourist revenue, an idealized refuge for laid-off workers, and a focal point for the redefinition of the nation and its history. Few foods are so closely linked to national identity as ramen is to Japan. Ramen is now referred to as a national food in Japan, and it's rapidly gaining popularity amongst foodies abroad. Sushi, tempura, and teriyaki may be the foods most closely associated with the nation outside Japan, but within the country, ramen and other so-called B-class gourmet foods such as Japanese-style curry rice, rice bowls, and pre-made bento lunchboxes take center stage as a time-tested comfort foods. But for a cuisine whose popularity is only rising, the origin story of ramen is as muddled as the dish looks after mixing all the ingredients. The first and the most imaginative originally appeared in food historian Kosuge Kiko's pioneering study of the history of ramen, published in 1987. This version dates the introduction of the dish to the 1660s and designates Tokugawa Mitsukuni, a legendary feudal lord, as the first person to eat ramen in Japan. A record of Mitsukuni's activities surviving from July 1665 indicate that a Chinese refugee of the Ming government living in Mito at the time, Zhu Shunshui, provided advice to Mitsukuni on how to prepare a Chinese-style noodle soup that may have been similar to today's ramen. Zhu learned that Mitsukuni was an avid consumer of udon, a noodle soup made of wheat flour noodles and dashi broth made from dried bonito and kelp that is still popular in Japan. In the 17th century, the Japanese usually ate udon with pickled apricot and sesame as toppings. So seeing this, Zhu recommended 5 ingredients commonly used in Chinese noodle soup that could be added to improve the dish's taste. These were allium roots, garlic, garlic chives, green onions, and ginger. This is said to have become the earliest form of ramen, and this story came to be popularized by the Ramen Museum and the Nissin Foods Corporation, the world's largest manufacturer of instant noodles. The second origin story centers on ramen's arrival in the 19th century as a result of changes in Japanese food practices inspired by American imperialism. In 1853, the United States sent a squadron of gunboats led by Commodore Matthew Perry to Japan to obtain a treaty that would 1. Open Japan's ports to trade with the United States, 2. Guarantee assistance for shipwrecked American sailors, and 3. Establish consular offices for mutual diplomatic representation. So along with the Americans, the Europeans and Chinese also arrived at the open ports. They settled into the treaty ports of Yokohama. Kobe, Nagasaki, and Hakodate. In the earliest stage of migration, many of the Chinese residents worked for the Europeans and Americans in occupations such as construction, tailoring, printing, and shipping. One of the skills that the Chinese tradesmen brought with them was cooking. A noodle soup known as la mein, hand-stretched noodles served in a lightly salted chicken soup with scallions, soon became a staple of Chinese restaurants in Japan. The Japanese refer to the la mein made by the Chinese tradesmen as Nankin Soba or Nanjing noodles, after the Chinese capital city of Nanjing, and they described it as a simple dish served at the end of a meal rather than a meal by itself. The dish, which did not contain toppings or sauces at this point, was like a plain salt-flavored ramen. Excluding the select group of Japanese familiar with life in the foreign residential districts of Yokohama, Kobe, Nagasaki, and Hakodate, few in Japan had the opportunity to taste the food. In these early years, the consumers of Nankin Soba were almost exclusively Chinese workers, traders, and students living in the districts for foreign residents. Nankin Soba's move into the other parts of Japan can be dated to 1899, when the Japanese government eased the law requiring foreigners to reside in designated settlements. This change made it possible for resident aliens to live and do business throughout the country and brought about the first Chinese restaurants catering primarily to Japanese customers outside the Chinatown districts. The last of the three origin stories is centered on the establishment of Rai Rai Ken, the first Chinese food restaurant owned and operated by a Japanese national. In 1910, Ozaki Kenichi opened Rai Rai Ken in Asakusa district of Tokyo, an area known for its teeming population of wage workers. Rai Rai Ken incorporated a soy sauce-based seasoning sauce and served its noodle soup, referred to as Shina Soba, with chashu, roasted pork, naruto, fish meal cake, boiled spinach, and nori or seaweed. Ingredients that together would form the model for authentic Tokyo-style ramen. Rai Rai Ken quickly gained attention for its cheap, tasty, and quickly prepared Shina Soba. So there we have it. Three origin stories of ramen dating to the 17th, 19th, and 20th centuries. And this is the story of a dish which has relatively modern origins. How do we trace the history of food which has been around for longer? Historians rely on a whole host of fields, right from genetics to anthropology to archaeology, to piece together the complex history of food. But as new evidence emerges, we are forced to revise our understanding. As we travel, rather than becoming obsessed with the origin places of food and traveling hundreds of kilometers to eat foods only at certain places, we are better placed if we just revel in the uncertainties of origin stories and savor the delightful ramen of culinary cultures on offer. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IBM network. You can listen to us on the IBM Podcast app or ibmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are at IBM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, I am Utsav Memory on Twitter and YBTravel42 on Instagram.